Hi, this is Tom from the Happiness Quotient. Thank you for dropping by. You are one of my favorite listeners because if you're listening to this episode, you're hearing it before we changed our name to the Happiness Quotient. Just so you won't be surprised when you listen, you'll hear me talk about Baker Street with Tom Pollard. Believe me, you are in the right place. We've changed our name, but the excellence of the podcast just keeps getting better. Before we get to the episode, if you haven't done so already, please subscribe wherever you're listening, and I hope you'll visit my Patreon page for exclusive content at patreon.com/thehappinessquotient, and take a look at my YouTube page of the same name, where there are many Everest and music-related episodes, adventure-related podcast elements that can't be found here on the podcast itself. Thanks for being here. If you like what you hear, be sure to leave me a review, a rating, and share it with someone you care about. Now, on with the show. Welcome to Baker Street. This actually isn't Baker Street, but the podcast is. This is my driveway in New Hampshire. And, you know, over the last couple of days, I've been thinking a lot about some things that I experienced years ago with family and loved ones, people that were very close to me who passed away, and some of the words that they used before they died. And some might not have known they were going to die, and some might have very well known. And it was coincidental because a friend visited me at my fire pit last weekend, just a few days ago, and shared with me a eulogy from a funeral she had been to. It was her cousin's funeral, who died at the age of 52. And when she read the words from the eulogy, I was really moved. And what it showed me was that maybe those thoughts that were entering my mind were appropriate for Baker Street. The first thought that I was having was remembering my uncle, who, as a little kid, I remember him very loud and strong. I was afraid of him as a little kid, and he was not, well, let's put it this way, I don't think he was known for his kindness. I'm sure he had many, many friends, but I was terrified of him, and every time he would laugh, it would shake me to the core. And I remember him drinking and being loud and kind of unkind to us and his family. And about 2 years before he passed away, he had open heart surgery. And on the operating table, he flatlined. He died on the operating table. And he had no heart rate for several minutes. And when he came to, which he did, they saved him. He came to later in the recovery room, and he told my aunt, he said, "I've seen the light. I've seen the light, and I've seen my ways, and the way I've lived my life hasn't been the right way." And he said, "I love you." And the next couple of years before my uncle passed away, he was so kind and gentle and loving and affectionate, and he saw something over there, and that always blew my mind, and it gave me goosebumps just talking about it now, But one of the coolest things about it was my aunt was one of the nicest people you could ever meet in your entire life. And because of the generation or whatever, she stayed with her husband, my uncle, for many, many years when, you know, maybe nowadays a woman would say, I'm going to be strong. I'm going to show the kids what strength is. I'm taking the kids away. I won't stand for your verbal abuse or your drinking or whatever. But she did stay. And the coolest part was that she got to experience kindness and love from this man. And it really reversed. I didn't see him that much, but every Christmas and every Thanksgiving and all these holidays, it reversed everything. And if some reason that story came up recently, and it really got me thinking about some of the other things. I remember seeing my dad a couple of days before he passed, and my dad had his act together. He was really clear. There wasn't a lot of baggage with him. And so when I spent the time I did with him just before he passed, a day or two before he passed, I lay down beside him in bed and we talked, and it was really cool. And I know he was in a lot of pain, but he said to me, I just worry about your brother. I just worry about your brother. And my dad passed, but the day that he passed, he was laying in bed. And he hadn't really spoken for about 24 or 36 hours. He was in a great deal of pain and on sedatives and painkillers. This is right after I saw him. And my mom and sister were there, you know, kind of caretaking and taking care of him. But my mom sat down on the side of his bed and there were no words, and she was just, you know, touching his leg and, you know, kind of trying to bring him some sense of comfort by massaging his feet and things like that. And out of 24 to 36 hours of not having said a word, he sat up and his eyes wide open and he put his hands out and he said the name, this name, a last name. And the last name escapes me right now, but it's not important. What that last name was somebody who helped my dad when he was getting in trouble in college many, many years before, 50 some odd years before. He was at Brown University studying in English literature, and he was a real romantic and followed poets and enjoyed the, just was obsessed with the poetry of E.E. Cummings and of the like. And this gentleman whose name he sat up and reached out for the evening that he passed was a guy who came to his assistance and helped my dad out of an incredible pickle and got my dad back on the path, so to speak, even though, you know, I mean, life goes on. But that was the guy that apparently appeared to my dad right before he passed. For those interested in looking more deeply into the idea of the meaning of death and the things that happen toward the very end of life, a really cool book that I read some years ago is Life After Life by Raymond Moody, and he's known as the father of the modern near-death experience movement. And in the book, he studied 100 people who experienced clinical death, like my uncle did, and then were revived to live and tell in their own words of the experience of what they saw beyond, if you will, the gates of death. And it's a really cool book that might be worth your while. I'm sure you can find it on Amazon. I know it's sold a bazillion copies. I read it decades ago. I think it was published back in the mid-70s. The music that we're listening to comes from the Free Music Archive, and it is a band called Llámame la Muerte, which means, believe it or not, and I didn't plan this, it means Call Me Death, and it's a really cool collection of songs on the Free Music Archive, and you can follow Llámame la Muerte by following them at their website, and I'll put it up on the page right now. and I will list it in the notes to the liner notes to the podcast and the video that will be available for you, episode 16 of Baker Street. If you want to be added to my contact list, find me at eyesopenproductions.com, and in the upper right corner, click on contact, and there is an email page there that you can fill out, put your email address, and that's where I will be able to find you. I will add you to my mailing list. I'd like to share with you a little bit of this beautiful eulogy written for a man who was a Franciscan monk in Southern California, and his very, very close friend wrote the eulogy. And when I heard this eulogy read to me by my friend the other day sitting around the fire pit, I was so moved that I thought, I want to dedicate this podcast to the feelings and thoughts and words we have before we pass. So I'll see you inside. Office Central here at Eyes Open Productions in Baker Street. You know, in starting this podcast, Baker Street, it was and is my intent to share with you my journey, not in a way that would ever preach or try to assume that my thoughts and beliefs and ideas had any more validity over any others that you might consider in your lives. A friend of mine would often say, "Don't believe a word that I say. Go and find your own truth." And that's a pretty apt way for me to say it. Don't believe a word I say. Go and find your own truth. If you're inspired by the words that I speak, that's fantastic and that's beautiful. And that's what people do by sharing their ideas in a non-judgmental, kind, loving way, which is what Baker Street is. You'll notice that there are no negative issues or subjective comments about politicians or people, that this place is a place where we come to find positivity and bring ourselves to a higher plane within this realm. And I think that's possibly how this whole idea of what it is that we feel or think or share with people in the days or weeks or months or years, in the case of my uncle, before our passing, before we move on to that next realm. The idea of don't believe a word I say is important to consider because maybe some of my listeners and viewers, there are a lot of people who hang the hat or this veil of sanctimony over their friendships by believing that a gospel or a religion is superior and is the way. And what that ultimately does is really crushes a true openness and love in a friendship or in a relationship. The idea that someone subscribes or prescribes to a religion is totally okay if it's used in a way that allows them to use the risen, if you will, whether it's the Buddha or Christ or Muhammad, to inspire them to go deeper into the core of themselves and become a better person, more loving, more truthful, more non-judgmental, primarily more open to the idea that we are free will beings and that on this planet, on this realm, in this incarnation, it is our freedom to do whatever we so choose. And in considering that, this idea that all paths lead to enlightenment, the shortest is love. So this is important to consider when attempting or endeavoring to become non-judgmental about the deeds or words of others. They are all here like us on this planet, finding their way. We all are, and that's what we do by experiencing. And every time we have an experience, oftentimes a negative one, that's an opportunity for us to grow and look deeper inside it and ascend and become higher from the person that we were the previous day or the previous year. In prescribing or subscribing or believing blindly in the words of whether it be a preacher or a mystic or a shaman or a friend or a guru or a vision of a ghost walking down the street, is that somebody could tell you 100 times a day, every day, for 100 years, that chocolate ice cream is so delicious. And the truth is that we'll really never know what it tastes like until we actually taste it for ourselves. And that's why I say, don't believe a word that I say. Go and find your own truth. What I endeavor to do here on Baker Street is present some ideas and thoughts and be provocative enough to make or inspire someone to go out and try to make their lives better or happier by pushing the limits, by not being fearful, by being non-judgmental, by embracing the truth of who we are, free will beings. I was recently with a friend near my fire pit, and she shared with me a eulogy of her that was spoken for her cousin, who I had unfortunately never met, and I don't know if I ever would have, but he sounds like a beautiful individual. And in this eulogy, some of the words that were spoken of it gave me a lot of pause to rethink the way we live our lives and how we treat each other, and the idea that when we do get to that point where we're perhaps about to die, or if we are so fortunate to have some time to think and reflect, that there's almost nothing left to be said, meaning we live a life where we are able to be in touch with that idea of mortality and speak about loving our friends, or not loving the people around us. But if we are doing that every day, bit by bit, if we come to terms with our prejudices and our judgments now, then when that time comes, there's no hurry, there's no rush, that there's nothing to be said other than just allow whatever the next phase is to reach us and inspire us. So, I'm not going to share this gentleman's name. He sounded like a person who didn't have a lot he would need to say on his deathbed if he knew he was going to die. And unfortunately, this kind gentleman passed in his sleep, so we don't know if there were words. But by the sounds of how many people appeared at his funeral and said what a kind and generous and loving and bountifully joyful man he was, that he said everything he needed to say every single day in his waking life. And in the eulogy, his kind friend, one of his best friends that he went to college with and became very, very close with, his parents adopted his friend, if you will, as another son in the family. For that is what even his own life calls us to do today, to untie him, to unravel the mystery, not of his death, but of his love. And in the process of doing so, to unbind him from our expectations of who he could have been, or who he should have been, or even that he should have been around longer. In doing so, we can receive, I believe, a certain freedom from the burden of his unexpected death. For if we bind ourselves to his words, then death must heed the command to let him go, to let us go. Death will lose its grip on us, not because time heals all wounds, but because his words have been fulfilled. The point is that his humility and disarming humor made him eminently reliable and approachable. That was the genius of his assignments as a friar, beginning with his initial placement among elder friars when a house in LA was being closed. Included selling niches in the mausoleum here, and continued through his work in vocations and what would have been his next assignment in formation. His greatest gift was ultimately a spiritual one. It was to accompany people on their journey, and he was so good at it because he could just knock through the flack to the heart of the matter. He loved everyone for who they were just as much as he was a relaxed soul who went with the flow. He could readily empathize with you and would offer you the new perspective in which you could see your potential. Damn, don't we all want to meet someone like that and surround ourselves with people like that? We spend a lot of time, people I know spend a lot of time bitching and moaning and lamenting their woeful course in life, when all one needs to do is just open their heart to the truth of who we are, to the love that is out there, and in so doing, we will attract positive, loving people around us. The thing I have said on Baker Street many, many times is that we create our reality with the thoughts that we empower. And so if we keep those thoughts positive and loving and coming from a beautiful place of kindness, non-judgment, empathy, yes, indeed, not in a way that we look at those who are in pain or suffering in a judgmental way. When we go, oh, poor being, that's judgmental. That is judging their experience as one that is not as good as the one that we are currently having. So we need to be careful when we see a person who is living in poverty or in pain or with cancer or dying of dementia, in saying, oh, that there, but for the grace of God go I. There's a very judgmental aspect in that because it makes it sound as though we are better than that person. Like I'm so amazing, right? So when I see a person like that, I say, okay, that person is having the experience that they need to have in order to learn what it is they are here in this incarnation to learn. There is no judgment in that. So what was said in this kind gentleman's eulogy was, we are not here to judge him for leaving too early. It's to let him go. People are so upset and angry. When my brother took his own life at the age of 50, it rocked my world to the absolute core. I was blown off of my feet, and it took me years to finally gain some perspective to sit back and say, thank you, brother, for all that you've taught me in leaving. The things that I learned because he left, I never would have experienced had he still been around. Don't get me wrong. We were supposed to grow old together and sit on the porch and drink beers and laugh and watch the world go by or go fly fishing or hiking and climbing or just getting old. But in finally seeing that I learned and I grew from his passing, it allowed me to release him, and it was one of the most joyful moments of my life. It was up there with my children being born, getting married, and climbing Mount Everest. So those are things that I had to experience. So if somebody said, you poor being, you poor soul, you've lost your brother to suicide, sure, it sucked at the time. Right now, I'm so thankful for my brother, for everything that he ever did, for calling me the day before he passed. Damn, I'm not going to freaking cry right now. And I finally was able to let him go. I'm so thankful for all that he gave me. I don't judge him. I never was angry with him, but I don't judge him for doing what he did. Could he have been saved? Yeah, probably, possibly, but
it's not my job to try and find out if that were possible. He's gone now, and I just have a different relationship with him. It just happens to be a spiritual one, and, you know, conversing across the ether. Okay, so lastly, from the beautiful eulogy, which brought me to tears, the Franciscan vocation director has helped us to discern that our vocation is to be moved by the person in front of us. This is the gentleman whose funeral it was. He did feel unworthy when people looked up to him, but when he looked up to the mirror upon donning the habit, he might have looked up to himself for the first time. Something changed in him. Stunned, he felt powerful, worthy, called, beloved. Swept in that moment into an internal consciousness, he was freed for life and bound forevermore to his purpose of serving the church. And that's what Baker Street is about. It's about going deep and finding your passion and going after the things that you love. And when you do that, when you come from a place of kindness and love and non-judgment toward yourself, and you stop feeling fear for taking a step to go after those things that are important to you in your life, then the life that we live, that you live, will become more joyful, more fulfilling, and more purposeful. And in that happening, happiness is right there. And we become a better person to be around. The entire world gets to be a better place. The person that this eulogy was spoken for is the kind of person who did that. He did not have the fear of taking the step to make a commitment to go in a direction that was important to him. He just did it. And that's why those are the people that we want to surround ourselves with. And that's what Baker Street is all about. The music that you've been listening to is Llámame la Muerte, Call Me Death, which is a really cool band that I found came right to the top of my search in the Free Music Archive rock section today. And it was too serendipitous not to use it. So look them up. You can find them at llamamelamuerte.bandcamp.com. Also, I hope you'll find me on social media. You can start by going to eyesopenproductions.com and scroll to the bottom. You'll see the buttons for Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Please follow me, and please always feel free to share this podcast or the YouTube version of it with your friends and family, those you love. If you hate what you're hearing now, you can share it with people that you don't like. So go and do whatever you want to do. This is public domain now. I'm pleased to be able to have a place to share my feelings and thoughts as I endeavor to become successful at the things that I'm endeavoring to become successful at. And I hope you become that as well. So go and find me, click on contact, join my mailing list. I send out an email every once in a while, and I will love it if you would also go to iTunes and find my podcast, Baker Street with Tom Pollard. Click like, 5-star review, and then actually if you write a review, I'd really appreciate it. So those things are important to me, and if I can be of any of assistance to you, I will help as I can. I thank you. I love you. I hope to see you very soon and look forward to hearing from you. I will see you all real soon. Now remember, we create our reality with the thoughts that we empower. Thanks for everything. Have a phenomenal day. Have a phenomenal week. I love you. Peace out. If you're still here, thank you for visiting. I hope you'll take a moment to subscribe wherever you're listening, and I hope you'll also visit my Patreon page for exclusive content at patreon.com/thehappinessquotient, and take a look at my YouTube page of the same name, where there are many Everest and music-related episodes, as well as adventure content and interview snippets that can't be found here on the podcast.
Thank you for being here. I hope you'll share this, leave me a review, a rating, and come back soon.